Once upon a time, there was a woman named Laura. Laura lived in a little apartment in Oakland, California. Ever since she was a child, Laura had been taught to do the right thing. Always say the right thing or don't say anything at all. So she went to the right schools and made the right friends. She read the right books. And when she graduated from college, she found the right job. She moved into the right apartment, which was right across from the Oakland BART station, so she could go to work very easily every morning. Laura never ran late. She had a routine that got her to the train platform 20 minutes before the train would arrive. And she had a certain routine: take a shower, get dressed, prepare her coffee, and head down into the street. But on this morning, Laura felt out of sorts. She couldn't find her phone. She didn't know what time it was. So she was hurrying to get ready. She couldn't find the right thing to wear, so she just put whatever she could find on. And she couldn't find her glasses, so she told herself, well, maybe I left them at work. So she went down the stairs, hurrying, not knowing what time it would be, to head over to the train station. She grabbed her coffee from the coffee maker and poured it into her to-go cup, but she didn't realize she hadn't put the lid on very tight. So when she arrived at the station, she went down the stairs and her coffee just slipped out of her hand. And when it slipped out of her hand, she slipped as well and fell down the stairs. She hit her head, but she felt okay. You know, the people from BART came around and asked, "Are you okay? Miss, would you like to see a nurse?" And she said, "No, I think I'm all right." But she wasn't all right. For a moment there, she thought to herself, "What am I doing here?" She never had that thought before. Suddenly, she looked at her clothes. She looked at herself. She thought, "What am I doing here?" And she looked around and she saw other people very much in a hurry, very much running and pushing and shoving to try to make the next train. And she said, "Why do we do this? Why do we live this way?" And she got on her train.
No one knew me, no one knew me. future, tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me, look right through me. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. Circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Enlarging your world. Mad world.
Someone found the future as a statue in a fountain, an attention looking backward in a pool of water. Wishes with a blue songbird on his shoulder, who keeps singing over everything. Everything means nothing to me. Everything means nothing to me. Everything means nothing to me. Song and found my picture in the paper, the reflection in the water showed an Iron Man still trying to salute people from a time when he was everything he's supposed to be. Everything means nothing to me. Everything means nothing to me. Everything means nothing to me.
Are you all right? Said the woman sitting across from Laura. Are you feeling okay, honey? And Laura just looked out the window. The sky and the train seemed to be moving in slow motion. She wasn't sure what was happening to her, other than she didn't feel like herself. And she kept wondering, why am I on this train? What am I doing here? And as the train moved, it seemed to take forever to get to the city. She closed her eyes. She allowed herself to drift off. And behind her mind's eye, there was nothing but colors. Blues and grays, purples and pinks, flashes of light here and there, and she drifted.
Thank you. Thank you.
When Laura woke up, she looked around and she was very surprised. The entire train car was empty. And the train seemed to be going through a very, very long tunnel. It was very dark, pitch black. She began to worry because she didn't remember a long tunnel on any of her commutes. So she thought, did I oversleep? Am I headed to South San Francisco by mistake? And then she began to worry about being late for work, for her meetings, and for her different appointments. So she decided to try to call her boss, but there was no signal. She sighed and waited to go through this tunnel, but it didn't seem to end. Until finally, the train stopped. And when it stopped, she got a sudden jolt. She stood up and she walked to the doors. She could see was pitch black. And then the doors opened. And
taking pictures with the light from the snow.
When the subway doors opened, our friend Laura found herself staring at a great beach that went on as far as her eye could see. Great expanse of blue sand, the color of blue diamonds. It sparkled in the sun. And around her were palm trees and tropical plants and so many flowers and a beautiful breeze blew across her forehead. And she thought, I must have hit my head much harder than I thought. And she realized she must be having a hallucination. She should get out back on the train and head back to the city and try to see a doctor. So she turned around to return to the subway train, but the subway train was gone. And so it had been replaced with more sand and more ocean and more beach. And she became scared. She started walking to try to find an area high enough where she might be able to get some signal and set up her laptop and communicate with the real world. So she began to walk down the beach. She saw a small hill in the distance, so she began to run. And as she sat down and set up her laptop, she realized quickly that there was no signal, and her laptop was almost out of battery. So for a moment she felt afraid. Here she was alone, in a strange place. But then suddenly, she realized this was paradise. She took a deep breath, and she realized in this moment, she was okay. She was going to find out more about this place. So she took off her boots and her socks, rolled up her pants, took off her heavy jacket and her heavy sweater, and left all of her things on the hill. She did take her phone with her, but she realized that was pretty useless. But she continued walking down the beach. As she was walking, she heard a tiny voice. Come here, please. Come here. We need to save you. We need to bring you down. Who's that? What are you saying? What do you want? Come here. Come closer. Come closer. We need to bring you down here. You're not safe. Who is this? Closer. She began to walk faster. Who is this? I don't see anyone. Please, Jin, you're not far. Come a little closer. Keep walking, keep walking. Who is this? What is this place? What do you need? And suddenly, she was pulled deep into the sand. Fast, going down a great tunnel. Where am I? Where am I?
Down,
down, down, down, down, down,
to the bottom. any hope for me. Unless this dream, which seems so real, is just a
Laura continued falling, 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 and landed suddenly into the arms of several beings, people. They all wore hoodies, but she could see that their eyes were very kind. It was very dark in this tunnel. And she asked, "Where am I? Who are you?" "This is Araku," they said. "Well, who are you? What country is this?" "This is Araku," they said. "Who are you?" "We are Araku." "What is this country you speak of? Please, it's very dangerous above. Please follow us. We shall take you to brother, and brother shall tell you." So Laura followed these beings through these dark catacombs and tunnels. But she sensed a deep feeling of peace in their presence. She should have been scared, but she wasn't. She began to notice light beginning to seep from their clothing. And she could see a small light at the end of one of the tunnels. And as they got closer, the light got brighter. And suddenly she found herself in the entrance of a vast chamber, as tall as her eye could see up. And it was filled with light, but not just any light. Every one of the people that lived there, well, they were glowing. And the people that brought her in took off their hoodies, and they were glowing as well. Different colors, of every color of the spectrum. "What's that noise?" It became very deafening. "Oh, we shall take you to brother. He will explain." And they walked a little further to a small chamber. And in this chamber, at the end of the chamber, there sat an ancient being who must have glowed very strongly at one point in his life, a very bright gold, but now his glow was waning. He was a little more faded. "Who is this person you bring to me?" he asked. "Who are you? Speak up. What are you?" I'm human, Laura. Human Laura. I am Araku." "It was very dangerous above. We had to bring you down. Lest the ones that come from the sky, they'll get you. They'll take you away. Long ago, we used to live above ground. In peace, we had our farms, we had our homes, we had our children. We had the oceans. We had all the animals and plants and birds. But one day the sky got dark. And the people from the sky, they came. They took everything they could take. They took our homes. They took our animals. They tried to take us. And we ran underground. But we realized that they were afraid of the moon. So every night we're able to go out and we're able to still find our secret gardens and harvest our food in the dark. But the day that they came, I was just a child. And I will never forget it.
Yeah.
After that first night, Laura settled in to the life of the Araku. The rhythms of being below during the day and above at night. And pretty soon, they no longer spoke to her as human Laura. And pretty soon, she was adopted. Her name became Araku. And she loved these people dearly. They often gathered to hear her stories about her other land. But as the days and the months went by, she began to forget what life was like, what San Francisco was like, what Oakland was like. And instead, she rose in the morning to the pitch black chamber. And slowly, as her brothers and sisters of the Araku rose and emerged from their chambers, they would each light up a little corner of the cavern. And as everyone joined the community, the cavern filled with light. They created their own daylight, and everyone's needs were attended to, because each was as important as the other. Every blade of grass, every bird, every creature, every flower, the water they drank, the air that they breathed, it was all Araku. They all shared the same name. And Laura fell into the rhythms of the festivals and the harvests and the planting. Indoors, underground during the day. She could hardly wait for the signal that the moon had risen. And the families and the children would all ascend up to the surface, begin their celebrations. And the harvest.
Gardening at night. prelude for a change. The charges changing every month. Said it couldn't be arranged. See money on the floor, I felt that I could change the world of feeling. That door just didn't seem to be too real. The yard's nothing but a fence. The sun just hurts our eyes somewhere. Must be time for penitence. Gardening at night is never where. Gardening at night. Gardening at night. Gardening at night.
As the evening wore on, and the faint glow of dawn was starting to break over the ocean, every Araku knew that it was time to go back down underground and go to sleep. Somewhere, far up in the heavens, there was a lone ship, and on this ship, was a being named Jaro. And Jaro knew it was almost time to begin his shift and begin mining the ocean, begin mining the hills of Araku, though he did not know it was Araku. And he stared at the objects he had mined and failed to report to his superiors that he hid in a compartment in his ship. Some sort of device, some clothing, a bag that held curious items that he had never seen before. And he planned his day as he planned every day, for he was a miner, as his father was, and his grandfather was, and his great-grandfather was, and for as long as he knew he would be, and he knew his children would be. And though he could do nothing about his lot in life, except for be a miner, he looked at those objects that he had been investigating so curiously, and he was determined to get to the bottom of what they were. Thanks for joining me for tonight's bedtime story. Tonight's setlist began with Mad World by Gary Jules and Michael Andrews, followed by Everything Means Nothing to Me by Elliot Smith. Song number 3 was Beautiful Mind by The Verve. Song number 4 was By a String by Corinna Messier. Song number 5 was Darkish by Sharon Van Etten. Song number 6 was Blue Beach by Leveda. Song number 7 was Lifeline by Harry Nilsson, followed by Goodbye Blue Sky by Pink Floyd. Song number 9 was So You'll Aim Toward the Sky by Granddaddy. And the last song of the night was Gardening at Night, the acoustic version by R.E.M. Thanks to Eardrum Buzz Radio, and I hope that you'll join us next time for the continuing saga of the Araku. Until then, stay safe and keep listening to Eardrum Buzz Radio.